Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Welcome to Mission Walks Live, another Messiah's Branch National Satellite Radio Program. We are broadcasting from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is December 11, 2014. Folks, with Mission Watch Live, we are warning the world as it happens. If you need any help after this program, please call me. If you need a prayer, you can call me for that also. If you happen to get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886, and that's because we are here for you. You can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com. Prophecyhour.com is like a hub for all our different ministries, for Mission Watch, this program, for Prophecy Hour, and the other ones. Our program archives can also be found there at prophecyhour.com, and it is very smartphone friendly. In fact, if you go over there to the End Time Radio Archives, you'll find yourself at branch.podomatic.com, and they have an Apple app and an Apple Android app that you can download to your I guess we don't call them cell phones anymore. I guess they're smartphones. I guess you have to be smart to have one. I don't know. Anyway, but if you're one of the 15% of the people out there that do not use the Internet, you're listening by satellite or radio, period, remember that you can always call me. You don't have to use the Internet to get in touch with me or find out information. You can simply call me at the numbers that I gave you. Now, prayer, and we'll bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray, Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not my will. And please, Father, give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth and understand the truth. Amen and amen. Well, tonight's guest is Kamal Saleem. He attended his first PLO terrorist assault camp in Lebanon at the age of 7. That same year, he completed his first mission carrying explosives, guns, and ammunition in a rucksack into Israel, a mission that launched him on a 20-year journey in jihad. Now he's renounced jihad and travels all over the country telling his explosive story. Born into a large Sunni Muslim family in Lebanon, Saleem was rejected by his father but tutored in the Quran by the Muslim Brotherhood, a global terrorist organization. He was taught by the MB, the Muslim Brotherhood, the loftiest goal he could achieve in life was to be martyred while killing infidels, particularly Americans and Jews. He is now a born-again Christian and an ordained minister. That's quite a jump, isn't it, folks? He's an American citizen. He has consulted with federal law enforcement agencies on terrorism and radical Islam. He fights for America with the same fierce intensity he hoped would bring her down. He now speaks all over America in universities, churches, synagogues, and political organizations, and he's on with us tonight. Now he and his family must be ever vigilant as they expose the dangers of radical Islam. And we do know this. He has also written a book which has got him into our program with Jerry Bolkin. That book is called The Coalition. And we'll be talking about that after we get him on and after we get a little bit about his story. So welcome, Kaleem. Are you there? Or Kamal, are you there with me?
Yes, Pastor. How are you doing? It's good to be with you and looking forward for what the Lord's going to do tonight.
Yeah, amen. So am I. I'm really greatly excited by this program with your background. And, you know, as I said, that you made that such a jump being from what you was to what you are. It just shows the power of our Lord. Amen.
Amen. It is truly the amazing grace, and to God be the glory, because man could not do anything but dominion and power and authority all in the hands of the living God, and he is able.
Well, amen. So why don't you, Brother, I'm sure most of our, I don't know if our listeners have heard of you before, but take us through your story, and we'll get around to the book in either this part or the second part, but I'm really interested in your story. How do you make that jump?
Well, I was born in Beirut, Lebanon, to a Muslim Sunni family. We are 14 brothers and sisters that we lived in a three-room house. I was indoctrinated by my mother right there in the dining room table on the floor in our kitchen. There I learned, you know, what is my future will be. And there she told me about that we are commanded by Allah to be the one nation under Allah, a whole divine one Islamic world order. Our job is, you know, your generation, the one will make the difference and will infiltrate civilization even to the point that will make Jerusalem our state, Islamic state. So therefore, she said, you will die for the sake of Allah in killing or by dying as a martyr. And this is how it all started. At young age, my dad got me out of school and I was working, and, you know, my life was changing. And then I was, I was recruited in the mosque, you know, neighborhood mosque. This is where the radical Muslim dwells. This is where the place, you know, the Muslim come to worship the moderate, and they are radicalized over there because that's what the true Quran says. You know, we are commanded to fight. We are commanded to destroy the Jews and the Christians. And so my life was going from there, you know, and this is how it's all started until the whole group joined the PLO. And I attended my first PLO camp at 7 years old and my first mission at 7 years old. And that launched me into 20 years into jihad for the sake of Allah by implementing Islamization.
Okay. A couple of questions. And first off, for the people, you know, I'm 59. I know what the PLO is. You know, there's so many people out there that have no idea what we're talking about when we say PLO. What's that stand for?
Yes. Well, before we talk about the PLO, we need to understand that the mother of all evil, it's called the Muslim Brotherhood. Muslim okay. Brotherhood is what every radical organization birthed from, including the PLO, you know, and before the PLO birthed over there, it used to be called Fatah, which is a name, came from the Quran, and then Fatah, you know, progressively joined all the other faction of the Palestinian, and it became the Palestinian Liberation Organization under Yasser Arafat.
Well, I remember Arafat in the early days and, you know, all that. Let's go back to the Muslim Brotherhood. You know, most Americans, not all Americans even believe that the Muslim Brotherhood is, you know, a terrorist organization. I mean, clearly, there's ties even of advisors close to the White House, I think, that are Muslim Brotherhood. How can that be that they don't, you know, the people don't understand that, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, what we're dealing today is we're dealing with civilization jihad. Civilization jihad, you know, which is holy war against a civilization, it comes in different form. One of the forms called is tilt jihad. The other one called political jihad. One is called jihad of the womb. One al-taqiyya jihad, which is, you know, lying to your enemy to deceive them. It's a deceptive methodology. So therefore, when you see, you know, my predecessors came, you know, the Muslim Brotherhood came to the United States of America in the 60s. I came in the 80s, you know, and so therefore, our job is to infiltrate the seven mountains influence of a civilization from family to education to government to military to banking to media to art and entertainment to spiritual organization, religion. And we've been very, very successful in this. So the people today, with the help of our current government, they have been sold the ideology that the Muslim Brotherhood are a moderate organization. But on the other hand, it is Al-Qaeda and ISIS are the radical. But when you find out that ISIS and Al-Qaeda came out of the Muslim Brotherhood, and what the Muslim Brotherhood came, it came specifically to establish the caliphate after the fall of the Ottoman Empire in 1924 and reestablish the, the Islamic Sharia law in the entire world, including the United States of America. Today they are, advancing into our Senate and trying to implement, through the OIC organization, Islamic Council, the Sharia law into United States of American right. government, where it'll become equal to our Constitution.
Yeah, absolutely. I've had some other guests on here, well, like Walid Shubat, that's pointed to that. He was a, I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but he was a...
Yes, I'd give my life for him. He's a good man.
Yeah, well, amen. Well, so we're pretty much on it. So that's where most of my shocking education came from. When he first wrote his book, God's War on Terror, with Joel Richardson was when I first had him on and woke me up to a lot. But, let's go back to this. I'm watching it, I've been on radio for a very long time and I also keep track of the news and all. The Muslim Brotherhood or just Islam in period, you can't speak against it anywhere in this country. It seems like everybody's promoting it. Christianity, it seems to be under persecution. What can we do to wake up the American people, or do you think that there is hope in that?
Well, this is a situation we need to face head on, and we need to really, number one, we need to get educated on this. What are we dealing with? Who are these people? And why they came to the United States of America? I mean, they cross over seven seas, and they came here to be part of our civilization. And what is the strategy behind their infiltration? They are coming here, the teaching of Islam, they believe that they are, not equal to the Christians or the Jews, that they are higher and greater. So therefore, they must subjugate both belief, by destroying both religion and establishing Islamization over the two. So right. Therefore, what happened is their ideology is a radical ideology to really, to infiltrate civilization like the United States of America. And ultimately, when America is destroyed, not if, when, then the whole world will be easy for the Muslim to have. And since the Muslim Brotherhood championing this right now, the Muslim Brotherhood was birthed by the Nazi money. Hitler financed them by hundreds of millions of dollars, that he stole. He killed the Jews and stole from it, and he equipped
right.
the Muslim Brotherhood to be who they are today.
Yeah, absolutely, and we've talked about that to some extent. How I guess they call him the Mufti or something like that. That helped Hitler during World War II, and really interesting information. It almost seems like it was the Muslims that poked Hitler into doing what he did.
Yes, that was his name is Hajj al-Amin al-Husseini. He is the Grand Imam of Jerusalem who went and met with Hitler. But we need to realize, even before he did that, on 11-14-14, this is when the Ottoman Empire declared holy war against the Christians and Jews in the world, and even genocide, Armenia, which is 12 to 13 million people, and by ultimately destroying that civilization. And they're themselves joined with the czars of Germany in destroying, the majority of the Christians and Jews in Europe and the Middle East. And so we are dealing with something here that even before Nazism was there, Islam, radical Islam was there to really to bring those approaches, which is, it's a dark spirit, and
right.
it's not looking for friendship. It's what we see ISIS today, like, for example, ISIS is a perfect example of what its true Islam is, which is radical Islam.
Yeah, absolutely. You said some very good words. True Islam is radical Islam, meaning that if they truly followed their Quran, then they would act like ISIS. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying. Now, I'm not against Muslims. I love Muslims.
Yeah,
all of them are my friends, you know, my family. And Jesus commanded us, you know, he died for all of us, you know, and if somebody didn't love me, I would not come to this. But what we're dealing with today and what we're talking about is radical Muslims.
Right.
Those radical Islam, the one they want to destroy our very way of life, like 9/11, like, you know, prior, you know, the blind sheikh, like, you know, Ahmad Awad, which is what he did just recently at the Navy, or like, you know, Nuland, who beheaded the two women in Oklahoma, or like, you know, Major Hassan Nidal, who killed 13 people in the name of Allah, declaring Allahu Akbar.
Right, and they called it workplace violence. That's such a sham. That's what political correctness seems to be a very big enemy, or in it technically, in a sense, killing us. But I agree with you about loving the Muslim people. You know, we as believers in Yeshua, or believers in Christ, are, you know, that's our job, is to try to convert and to love others and, you know, show our love through that life. Joel Richardson, yeah, amen. You know, Joel Richardson, he's talking about, he was on here about 2 weeks ago talking about his new film, and he was talking about how in Egypt that there is a huge amount of refugees that are Muslim that have seen what ISIS really is, that reality, are turning to Christ, that are being saved over there. In fact, he's getting ready to go back. So, amen. You're on the, and that seems to be what your ministry is about. You say you want to see Ishmael redeemed. Amen.
That's so true. You know, our first, you know, that number one is we are telling the church, you know, the problem today, there's a lot of good people out there in the church, and these are God-loving people, fearing, God-fearing people. But the problem is with a lot of pastors, not too many pastors are stepping up to the forefront and talking about this in the light of God. A lot of the pastors are, you know, trying to be politically correct and trying to really, you know, keep everything, you know, like, I don't want to be part of this and what so have you. So therefore, the church becoming weaker and weaker, you know, and we're losing elections, we're losing a lot of things. We're not standing against the radical Islam because my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge, not because they lacked it, only because they refused it. And our pastors, our shepherds, are the ones that are shutting the gates to this understanding that today it should be taught in every church, which is the parliament of the Most High God on earth.
Yeah, amen. That about every guest that I've had on here, and we've talked to a lot of people about, you know, different aspects of Bible prophecy and things, and when we talk about the problem with Islam or the problem with homosexuality and everything, it always comes back to seemingly the same thing. The church seems weak and that it's not standing up. I agree with you. It's being politically correct. While they love Christ, something seems to have shut their mouth, so to speak. Do you know what I'm saying?
Correct. Well, you know, the Word of God, he taught us, you know, specifically, he said we are king and priest. And so, therefore, every king, you know, his power seat is in his priestly seat. And every priest must have an altar, and every altar must have a sacrifice. And what we're dealing today is many of the priests, they don't know if they are priests or not, and they don't have altar, and they have no sacrifice. Well, we're seeing, you know, the enemy are building an altar for abortions, you know, for Malik, you know, Imalik, and then and one for homosexuality, which is Sodom and Gomorrah, and which is Baal, Jezebel, and then the other one to Islam here, and these are requiring and taking blood of the civilization, innocent people, and been given at those altars, you know, and this is the altar of Baal, you know, which is the of Islam. And so, therefore, when you see those three altars are roaring in power today, and they are offered blood daily, you know, they are gaining spiritual authority because we don't fight against flesh and blood, but principalities and power. You know, so the Christians are not engaging their supernatural power that God given them is to take stand. The giants are midgets, and we are not understanding that philosophies.
Yeah, amen. And that's what I mean. You know, I don't understand, you know, I've been a minister for a long time, but I don't understand how, you know, the church got itself into that position because, you know, I guess it goes back to political correctness, you know, afraid to speak out or this or that or whatever, but, you ask a lot of Christians, they come into the church or whatever and you talk to them about sin. They don't even know what sin is, you know, how can you get to that point? Well, you know, pastor, that's not what's being preached down the street, you know, and so that worries me. Should we be worried about America?
Absolutely. We should. The enemy is here in the United States of America, is lurking in our street. The church is, you know, since 9/11, they hit the snooze button and went back to sleep, which is, you know, and if we need to know where the nation is going, is where the church goes, so goes the nation, you know, and this is the principle that we need to understand, because God is the protector, and when we see that Christianity is dimming and they're hiding their light, and now they don't know what real light is, we're seeing, you know, the God of this world, the giants, are marching back and demanding, just like in the days of, Noah, you know, or the Sodom and Gomorrah, or in the days of Jezebel, you know, or Elijah. So therefore, we're seeing all this taking place, and I'm going, where are the heroes? Where are the David of this age? So we are in trouble because we are not minding the walls, and the walls are broken.
Yeah. Amen. And the wolves are loose. You know, they're out there devouring. Tell us a little bit. We're going to go to break here in about less than 2 minutes. So where's your website and what can they find over there?
Yes, my website, it's Koome Ministries. That is K-O-O-M-E, K-O-O-M-E, next word, ministries, no spaces, that's plural, .com. And Koome means arise. It's an Aramaic word when God called, Lazarus to arise, and he said Koome, and he called Talithia Koome, which is, you know, to arise, you know, arise from their sleep and their death.
Yeah, amen. I really like that. You know, people, I talk about faith all the time, as most ministers should, and faith's an action word. You know, that means get up and do something, you know. You have faith to believe, but you know, faith without works is dead, meaning, you know, you believe and move. That, and this, and that, that's in, the rise is the same thing. And so, that's really great. Well, when we come back, I want to hear how you got saved, and then we will get to that book, my brother. But you're just such an interesting fellow. You've led an interesting life, and really want to hear more about it. Folks, if you listen to this in the archives or you go to our website at prophecyhour.com, you'll find a link to his website or any place that you hear this in radio archives. And if not, you can call me. I can tell you how to find it. But we'll come back in 3 minutes and talk more with him.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku-band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is a coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific.
Closed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Mission Watch Live on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, I usually ask you to pray about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. And yes, we do need you to do that because we are caring for a lot of people. But tonight, I just found out from my producer, you know, while we're in the Flint Hills of Kansas, our radio station that we're on, American Voice Radio, is in Eagle Point, Oregon. Well, you know, I watched the national news and I heard about the storm that hit California, and I feel really bad because Oregon is also getting that storm. They've had some of the worst winds they've had in 27 years. Actually, from hearing my producer talk, it's a real miracle that we're even on the air, that everything isn't blown away. So, we need tonight, folks, to lift up, that West Coast in prayer and the people there, that they get through this, and pray for the radio station too, so that they can get that everything back together there. And so now we're going to go back to our program with, we got Kamil Salim on with us. Are you still there with us, Kamil?
Kamil,
pronounce your name for me, please, so I don't blunder through the rest of the program that way.
The first name is Kamal.
Come
and
on.
The last name is Salim. It means complete and perfect peace.
Really? Well, amen. And let's go with this. You know, being who you were, what brought you to Christ? Something brought you, some moment, or, you know, somebody witnessed to you? What was your journey? How did you get to Christ?
Well, after a series of jihad, I was sent to the United States of America by the Muslim Brotherhood. under the banner of the Saudi Arabia, you know, so the Saudis sent me to the United States for the infiltration of still jihad, which is turn your nation from the inside out, you know, so by infiltrating, you know, the infrastructure, specifically the youth in America, which is today, you know, many of them the church does not stand for or with. And so therefore we were sent to universities to impact the professors, you know, and the politicians, and ultimately to affect the root of this nation, which is the future young men and women. And by, you know, using two different organizations, Muslim Student Association and Muslim Student Union. And with this, also we went to the jail system to, convert inmates right there, specifically black African-American, you know, and create a divide in a civilization between the races, you know. So when a house is divided, it will not be able to stand. So our intention is to really challenge this nation by turning it against one another, as you've seen it happening today. And last but not least was the poor neighborhoods, specifically the gang-ridden areas, where we go to those areas and establish Islamic society, Islamic institutes, and, you know, and we start indoctrinating and establishing Islamic civilization in those areas where a lot of people are not watching, and ultimately it'll be someday no-go zone, which is it'll be state within United States of America where the American will not be able to enter those areas. It'll be a solid Islamic state within the United States of America. So this is what we came to do. And one day I had a severe car wreck. And in process, I met three American men. They were the good Samaritans, and they were good Christian men. And ultimately, one met me on the street, one the orthopedic surgeon in a hospital, and one was the head of physical therapy. And when the hospital discharged me, the orthopedic surgeon took me to his home. And in his home, I was, for the first time, my eyes opened to something totally new, that my God and your God was not the same God, you know, because we were taught in Islam that we worship the same God, you know, and we heard it, several of our presidents said it, you know, we worship the same God, you know, and it is not true. And so this, because one God so loved the world, one hated the world, one gave his son, one found an orphan man, one gave spirit adoption to Jesus Christ, one brought the spirit of orphan, and one gave his life, and one is still taking life, you know. So the differences are vast, you know. So, and there I discovered for the first time what is true Christianity is all about, that these people were loving people, that these Christians and their friend, the Jews, that they came to visit them, they were really nice people. And I found for the first time that these people were loving me with a love that I never understood. It's called unconditional love. I was terrorized, you know, by love. And so therefore, I was so afraid to the point that I looked inward and I started questioning who I was and what I did. And when I looked into myself, I found out that I am the bad guy, I'm the enemy, and there's the good people. And the best part about them, I found that they have a relationship with their God. Their God offer healing, love, protection, financial breakthrough, you know, and our God doesn't do any of those things. You know, we don't know if we're going to go to heaven or to hell. These people said, if you are in me and I'm in you, ask anything in my name, I will give it to you. And so I'm questioning all this, and when I hear them, they hear the voice of God, and God is directing their footsteps, I was jealous. I was angry with my God, and my God, he wouldn't do any of this. And I fell in love with the people that they came to rescue me without knowing who I was and what I came to do to this nation. And they offered me hope and future. And now, when I saw the husband, how he treat his wife, and like how we treat our women in Islam, I was really taken by that, because the woman was always to us is nothing. She is not even first-class citizen. She is nobody. And in Christianity, she's equal to the man. I'm going like, wow. And when I saw how they treated
treated their children, which is we were child soldiers, their children, were they were treated to tell the truth and live honest and holy and righteous life, while we were told to live the opposite life, to deceive our enemy, to, you know, because we are at war with our enemy.
Right.
And so everything was upside down. And one day when they let me go home, I went to my home and I fell on my knees facing the eastern window and I called to my God. I said, Allah, Rabbi wa Mawlai, my Lord and my King, why did you do such a thing to me? I'm not talking about the accident. I'm talking about, you know, all the above.
Right.
You know, these people, you know, you put me among Christians. These Christians have relationship with their God and they're truly a lover of humanity. I said, I want to have a relationship with you too. I want to hear that you love me. If you are real, speak to me. Well, Allah didn't speak. And that day, I came to put the gun in my head and to clock out because I don't want to go back to radical Islam. I found something really powerful and peaceful and loving, and I want to change my life. And if I go back to my comrade, they will have to kill me. Muhammad, the Prophet of Islam, said anyone that converts from Islam, even if they're a Christian and converted to Islam, kill them. So therefore, they have to kill me, and I can go back home. And so now, as you know, that they have fatwa against me, meaning they want me back because, you know, I converted. So now what I did is I wanted to put the gun in my head, and as I did so, I tried to get the gun, and I heard the voice of the living God for the first time. And the voice of the living God, he was a father that I never had. He became instantly my father, and he spoke to me like a son. He knew my name. He knew my everything. He knew my past, and he knew my future. He knew everything about me. And when he spoke to me better than my mother's voice when I was a little young boy. And when I heard this, he said, call upon me, call upon the God of Father Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. For the first time, I came to know that, you know, it's not the father of Ishmael, Abraham and Ishmael. It's the God of Father Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And as I fell on my knees, and I cried out with a loud voice, God of Father Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, if you're real, speak to me. Well, God of heaven and earth, behold, he came and he filled the room with his glory. And his name was Yahweh, the Lord is one. And I said to him, who are you, my Lord? He said, I am that I am. I said, I'm a Bedouin. I have no understanding. What is that supposed to mean? He said, I am the Aleph, I am the Tav, I am the beginning, I am the end, I am everything. I have created you before, I have known you before I created the foundation of the earth. I have loved you before I formed you in your mother womb. Kum Kamal, arise. He did the Lazarus things. As I rose up, the old man was gone and the new man sprouted out. My physical body was healed, but my heart and my mind was healed, and I gave my life to him that day, and I surrendered my all, and I said, I will live and die for you, my Lord. He said, do not die for me, I died for you. I said, I will give me permission, I will change their world, I'll bring all the Muslims to Christ. And he said, the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few, be an ambassador of mine. I came to understand that this is a commission, and this is commissioned by the love of the living God.
Wow. Amen. That's a very powerful testimony. Afterward, so now what is your ministry now? I mean, you know, I know you wrote this book. We're going to talk about it, but you know, what ministry are you in? Or do you have a big church? Do you witness to the Muslims? What do you do?
Well, we definitely, you know, we equip the saints. Number one is we tell the church to arise that Jesus Christ is Lord and he's coming very soon. And what we talk about what he's doing in the Muslim world and how many millions of Muslims are coming to Christ every year, you know, and how many Muslims coming by the hour, you know, and, all this what's happening with ISIS is changing the world. But then we teach on radical Islam. I talk, you know, with the national security, FBI, CIA, you know, the police, you know, how, you know, what is radical Islam and who they are and what we came to do here in this nation, you know, and I was teaching in this, you know, I started teaching the church because I know the power of intercession can change everything. And if we equip the church to pray correctly, we can pierce the darkness wherever it may be. But last part is to redeem Ishmael. But that is the redemption that God made promise to Abraham. He said, I will bless your seeds. So God gave Abraham a covenant in two portions. The first portion is the beginning of time was the physical. The second portion was the spiritual. The spiritual is in Christ Jesus. He is the seed of Abraham. And so therefore he became the way and the life and the truth. And now the gates are open to the sons of Abraham, those that they fell by the wayside and they migrated to the desert for all those thousands of years, that now the door is open to them to lead them back into the promise that God gave to the Father in Christ Jesus.
Well, amen. So then my question for you, of course, is in times, you believe that we're living, you believe you'll see Yeshua return in your lifetime.
Absolutely. You know, I'm a firm believer that our Lord and our Savior is coming about, because everything, you know, the alignment of everything is coming together, from the Shemitah to the blood moon to the years. You know, if you look at the numbers that, you know, 5775, the Jewish year.
Right.
And we look at those, you know, this year and how they coincide with 2014. And at 2014 is the emphasis on 2 times 7, and that brings, you know, 14, and that is the double portion. So we've seen the first portion that came in the beginning, and I believe right now the second portion is coming, just like Elijah relinquishing to Elisha. You know, it was Elijah
right.
Operated in one portion, and now we're moving in we are moving in the double portion, and then the Great Awakening is coming about, and we are coming to the place that we are set for a grand, great awakening that we have not seen before. But ultimately,
yeah.
This is from Adam to Jesus and from Jesus to the church. This is all things are aligned right now. It's, you know, it's 2 times 7. And when we
right.
look at 5775, we are in the perfect government. But when we look at, you know, at the prophecy, he said, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. So we've seen the spirit of the living God is pouring out. And we're seeing, you know, today the light of the living God is coming even in dark places that we have not thought before. And we are seeing Muslim coming to Christ by the millions. Statistically
yeah.
today, every day, every hour of every day, 667 Muslim come to Christ. Every day, 16 to 17,000 Muslims convert to Christ. Every year, 6 million Muslims are converted to Christ. And this is Islamic statistics. This is not Christian statistics. So this is coming from the censors,
right.
Islamic censors. And when we see all this, and we see what God, he said, in these days, he said, when he pour out his spirit, that the young man and old man will have dream and vision. He said, even your maidservant. The maidservant is an emphasis, very important, that everybody must look at. That Hagar was a servant. She was the maidservant to Abraham. So he said, even the maidservant will have dreams and visions. You know, so now the Muslims are having dreams and visions, you know, and they're
wow.
seeing what's happening. And we see Jesus Christ, when he entered, you know, when he entered Jerusalem, he brought the prophecy that was spoken in Genesis, where Islam was called, you know, he called it a donkey, a wild donkey, you know,
right.
Of a man. And
right.
Jesus said, bring me that wild donkey that nobody sat on him. I'm entering Jerusalem at the end of time. And I believe before the coming of Christ, we're going to see Muslim coming to Christ like never before, because that is a promise he has made and he's fulfilling, because I will build the church, he said.
Yeah, amen. Boy, those are powerful words. And, you know, that's what, when Joel was on here 2 weeks ago, we talked about his new movie, In Time, Eyewitness, and not to pun his movie, but the biggest powerful thing that he talked about was when he started talking about the Muslim people coming to Christ. And so we did a second program about that in Egypt. And there are so many coming to Christ right now because, you know, they saw the things that you talked about with Christ. After this horrible persecution. Anyway, we need to mention your book. How did you get hooked up with General Boykin?
Well, General Jerry Boykin and I, if we've met each other, we'd have killed each other. We were each other's worst enemy. You know, he was anti-terrorist and, you know, unit. He was founder of Delta Force. He served from Reagan all the way down to George Bush Jr. he's an American hero. He's the Black Hawk Down, he's the one who brought the Contra, you know, from South America, arrested them. He's the one that brought Noriega to jail. He was the one who fought. He went to free our American hostage from Iran. He's an amazing guy, and he was chasing people like me, you know, and we knew about him that he was speaking out loud for God, for Christianity. So he was our enemy. So, but today, both of us are ministers, and we reconciled, you know, our past, and today we minister on the same platform. He speaks from his, professionalism, and, you know, and all the experiences that he had, and I speak from where we came from and what we came to do. So we put the agenda in the open, which is, it's a clarity specifically to educate and, really shine the light, on God people. That's why we put the book Coalition. The Coalition, it is about story of two men. It's based on our life story, you know, and, a lot of the story is, written from real life story, what happened with me and what happened with him. So we put it all together, and even to bring the scenario, what may happen in the next 5 years to the United States of America, Europe is failing and, Islam is taking over, and now America is the last frontier, and what normal people had to do to defend this nation.
Well, amen. It sounds like a real powerful book. So let me get this straight. You two travel around and talk to churches and different groups together. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. We speak on the same platforms. He is the vice president of the FRC under Tony Perkins, you know, which is a Family Research Council. I'm, and you know, with Coom Ministries. And what do we do? And, you know, we speak about this and we educate all over the nation, even to the point that CARE, Council American Islamic Relation, and ISNA, Islamic Society of North America, and Muslim Association, Muslim American Society, they have declared our name as wanted, you know. And they included Waleed as well and several other, you know, but... So therefore, they put our name out there for the, you know, lone wolf to come after us, Islamic lone wolf to come and take us out. So because of the effectiveness that we affect in Islam, you know, a radical Islam that is, they're trying to war against us. But today we are writing this to reveal all this stuff to the United States of America, that we may know what we are withstanding today. This is a call to action.
Well, amen. I'm still waiting. Your publisher was supposed to send me a copy of the book. I haven't got it yet, but I'm going to notify him again and want to know where it's at, because I really dearly want to read it. That's a powerful thing that you're doing, and let alone we emphasize to the folks that you are putting your life is on the line. You know, you converted, and so therefore you're a target, let alone you're speaking for Christianity and trying to expose them. Amen. So you have a family? You're married?
Yes, I am. I've been married for almost 25 years now. And, you know, I have, you know, I don't want to talk about my family members. I have even great-grandchildren, and we constantly move because these guys want to kill us. You know, they love us to death, and we constantly moving from place to place. Right. Every time they find where we live. So, and we're living in America, and the scary part, and, you gotta be scared in America. And we have, you know, a government today that opened our borders and allowed things to happen and championing, radical Islam in America and abroad. And, you know, it's upside down world we live in today.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, I'm encouraged by the fact of that, because I believe that that's what my word says, that it would be at this point before his return. And so, you know, I'm really pleased to have met you and have you on. Now, they can contact you through your website, of course. I know there's contact information, but that's so, right?
Yes, they can contact us through our website. Coome, that is Coome Ministries, next word, no spaces. And, you know, extension number 2, which is, you know, that's my oldest daughter, Jennifer. You know, that's, they can call 877-274-7000.
7303.
Okay. Folks, that's 877-274-7303. And folks, you, wherever you're listening to this program, if you're listening to it right now, or unless you're listening to it on radio, I don't have a, but there is a link. Any place that you look at this on the internet, there is a link to his website. Prayerfully, maybe the folks can get out and get someplace where, so you travel around speaking and things, and do you guys list those, speaking engagements on your website?
We used to lift them, but unfortunately it worked against us because these guys were waiting for us when we arrived, so we don't lift them anymore. But we do speak all over. We are willing, you know, when God opened the door, we willing to go and declare the truth, and you can, you know, do it through our 800 number, 877, right there.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you being on. Any final goodbye? You got about a minute to say goodbye. And again, I appreciate you being on. And folks, the book is called The Coalition. It's a novel, but it's a novel about our time. Final thought.
Yes, please pray for General Jerry Boykin and myself and our families and those that work with us, because we really face the, we go to the lion den every day. And please pray for America. Pray against her enemy and take stand, because America is beautiful and it, you know, and it's worth dying for, you know. So I believe in this America, and I'm fighting for my home. Please pray for us and join us in this fight, because we can make the difference today.
Okay. Well, thanks for being on, brother. It was really a blessing speaking to you. And this program will go into podcast, and I'm sure it will continue to bless the people. Thanks for being on with me. You be blessed, brother. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for having me. And you can find our book on Amazon as well. God bless you.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye. Well, folks, that coombministries.com. That's pretty easy to figure out. And, of course, he's out there with, General Boykin, which actually I was asked to, by the publicist, to have both of them on, and I chose just to have him on at one time. We're looking for a time period when we can have, General Boykin on, because folks, as you know me, I don't like to have two or three people on at once, or, you know, I like to just get personal with a person. And so, this was a real blessing. I want you, we've got another good program coming up for you in an hour. We're going to be talking about a book called The King of the Mountain. And this guy really, Charles Kreisler, he really did some research on this book, but he talks about some things that nobody else is talking about. And so it's a really good book to look forward to. Pray about the Wichita Mission Church. You know, we are in December, and while we keep, you know, different holy day, I mean, we celebrate Messiah's birth, but we don't celebrate it on Christmas. But we open the doors on Christmas Day, because you know what? Everybody is closed. Everybody, even the stores are closed. People, the homeless, are out there in the cold, in the street. They have no place to go. We open our doors, and so we bring them in and everything. And so we need your support for everything this month. We need coats, hats, gloves, all of those things. We need your financial support. Yeah, and so pray about it. We really do need your support. Pray about it. We don't sell anything. I don't have a book to sell you. Like this fellow was talking about his book, I don't have a book to sell you. I don't have anything to say at all. All I have is the Lord. And I pray that you pray to him and ask if you should give a donation. But remember, folks, there is only one God. And that is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. And we just heard an incredible testimony of that. Remember, folks, always be a blessing to others. No matter what, you need to be a blessing to others. How can you have Yeshua within you, this Holy Spirit, without being a blessing to others? Well, we got to get out of here. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying, goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch,
230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time from Messiah's Branch.
Prices going up, homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com.